Tonight, we are going to talk about training for reigning. Amen? Training for reigning. And so first, I just want to think, I want you to think with me about what would you think about a man who's edging up on his 60th birthday, and he never really took a diligent time to learn his ABCs. So he's still sitting in a first grade classroom trying to grab a hold of what his ABCs are. He's still sitting at that same small desk, and those little first graders come in and they're sitting there next to him, but he's not willing. He's slothful, or he is not diligent to learn and to go further. He's not willing to go further than the ABC. So here we are years along, and he's edging up on that 60th birthday, and he still is sitting in that exact same chair in the sanctuary. I mean, that same desk in the classroom, and he is not moving ahead. What would you think about that? Would you think that to be a little odd? Would you think it to be a little strange if this man is just not diligent to learn his ABCs? Well, we see that Paul tells a story kind of something like this in the book of Hebrews. So in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, we can see that he's kind of talking to the Hebrews about something like that. So let's go there. I think Ronnie has it for us on the screen. This is a very unique experience. I feel like the rain is almost as loud as, or louder than the room. Glory to God. Verse 12 says, Hebrews 5, verse 12, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness." The word of righteousness. "For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And let's go to chapter 6, verse 1, and we'll finish there. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Paul says here in the scripture that we're called to leave elementary principles, and he lists actually six things out there that he considers, but he says that we're required to go on to perfection. Well, that word perfection, sometimes people look at it as like, one day when I get to heaven, I'm going to be perfect. But if you go back and actually translate that word perfection is actually the word maturing. It is a constant increasing in your understanding of the things of God. It is a constant moving forward. It is a constant growth in the things of God. And so we are to be consistently getting further and more mature in the things of God. Just like a child grows up in things, right? They don't always talk baby talk their entire life. Well, most don't talk baby talk their entire life. They grow and they learn in the things of the natural. That's who we're called to be in the things of the Spirit. And so we're to continue moving forward. That's one of the reasons that one of the three-part vision of Victory Church is to move from milk to meat. We're to move from milk to meat. That's who we're called to be. That's part of what the vision is here, is that we're not just staying on the milk of the word, but we're moving to the meat. And so in that, we as believers and followers of Jesus are called to live reigning in life. That word life there for reigning is to reign in Zoe life, to reign in the God kind of life. Through the one, Jesus Christ, from the moment we were born again, from the time we were reborn, we are called to be in this place, training for reigning. But one thing that this word says here is that growth is stunted due to being unskilled in righteousness. That a mature believer is skilled in righteousness is what that would mean. A mature believer is skilled in righteousness. And so Well, I believe a lot of us probably here know a lot about righteousness and we are moving in those things. One thing that I know about foundation is, one, you should really only have to lay it once, but if you begin to see stress cracks in the corner of your house, if you begin to see things shifting, if you begin to see things out of order, it likely means that the foundation might need some work. And so in order to make sure that we're going ahead, we're moving ahead, we're maturing in the things of God, we've got to make sure that that foundation's right, right? We have to make sure that it's sturdy, that it's firm. So tonight we're going to talk some about righteousness. Father, it'd be really great if the rain wasn't competing with me for sound. So my question to you... Thank you very much. So my question to you is, when is the last time that you noticed if your breastplate had more luster? When is the last time that you noticed that it was a little shinier? You see, in Ephesians 6, Paul tells us about the armor of God. And he tells us there that righteousness is our breastplate. And he tells us there a lot of things. And actually, the armor of God has been like, I feel like everywhere I turn, everywhere I go, people are preaching on the armor of God. Pastor said something about it 2 weeks ago. Karina preached about it at her meeting on Monday. I turned on Facebook, and our sister church, Casey Stone, had preached about it at his church on Sunday. I watched the camp meeting on Monday and Tuesday, and Derek and Jennifer Miller were preaching about the armor of God. And I was like, man, this is amazing. And one of the things about the armor of God that we need to be mindful of is it's not like, oh, put on this cute little suit so God can take care of you. The armor of God is an equipping for you to be able to walk in the things of God in their entirety. The armor of God says you put on the loin belt of truth. What is that? That's the word of God. You put the word of God on you so that you are protected to last for generations. Because someone who doesn't know the truth of the word of God can be swayed in any direction. They can be moved to and fro because they don't know the truth. The armor of God says to bring up the shield of faith that puts out the fiery darts of the enemy. So you bring on this shield that keeps those fiery darts from coming on you. You put on the helmet of salvation. You pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken word of God. But if you are missing this piece of armor, it leaves you vulnerable. When you go to target practice, Ron, Chris, gunmen, I guess that the Lake Travis ISD police department, hopefully they don't mind me putting this out online, but I guess they were having shooting practice today. I saw like four of them pour in there. That was, yeah. But anyways, that's not the point of this story. When you go to target practice and you put that target up there, where are you aiming? When it's the person one, where are you aiming? You're aiming at their chest cavity. You're aiming at the most vulnerable area that's going to cause an issue. So when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, you're putting on something that's going to protect your most vulnerable area. You're putting on something that's going to keep you protected. And that weapon is not only defensive weapon, it's actually also an offensive weapon. The breastplate was one of the most glamorous pieces of armor that a Roman soldier had. When Paul's talking about this story, we know that he was in the Mamertine prison. Remember, Pastor just told us that the other day, that he was looking at Roman soldiers all the time. So this piece of equipment, this breastplate, was said to be glamorous, elaborate. It was from the neck all the way down to the knees. It was a huge piece made out of either brass or bronze. And it was connected at the top with two rings. And it was something that covered their being, but it was the first thing someone noticed. The first thing someone noticed was this breastplate that Paul's calling the breastplate of righteousness. And on that breastplate, most of the time there were individual small pieces of metal on that thing that almost were like fish scales. And so what would happen is these soldiers would walk in their breastplate, it would cause it to rub against each other, and it would cause it to add more shine, more luster, it would, praise the Lord, it would add, we have a light show and sound effects in here. Glory to God. It would add more luster. It would add more shine, and it would cause more attention to come to their breastplate, because the longer they walked in it, the more attractive it became. So the breastplate increased luster and got shinier with great use. So the question is, have we evaluated our skill in righteousness? Have we noticed our luster increasing? Well, I think in order to appropriately find this out, first we need to know, what is righteousness? What is righteousness? And you say, are we really going here? Yes, we are. And I want to say this, Pastor, I think, has mentioned this. We're going to go to Romans 5, 17, 21. You know, there's something about learning and maturing in the Christian faith that we're called to learn in what looks like an upward spiral. So when you hear a message again and again, if you are truly maturing, you begin to learn things on a new level every time you hear it. You are going up to a new place. You are going up to a new level. You are going up to a new depth. It will be that way forever, like eternity, forever. You will continue to learn. There will be things that you thought you knew that the further you get along, you realize when you thought that you knew something, you actually knew nothing about it. I feel like the farther I go into learning about the Word of God, sometimes the less I know. Actually, when the Lord gave me this message, interesting, I don't even know, this might be in here at some point, but when the Lord gave me this message, I had come to prayer, and maybe y'all are holier than me, but some days I just wake up and I feel like, Lord, I know that I know something, but I don't know what that something is right now. You know, and he said, I know something. And it got on the inside of me. I know something. I know something. And he began to unveil this message to me about, there is something you know that is so impactful, it will change someone else's life. Okay, Romans 5 verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So here we see that part, reign. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life, that we could live the God kind of life. Amen. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace much more abounded. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, whenever you see that place, eternal life, when I saw it in here, I was like, yes, I love to just throw this in because it's one of my favorite things. But when you see eternal life, too often we translate that immediately to living in heaven. Eternal life is not about living in heaven. Eternal life is about life now with the life of God. It is about knowing and experiencing the Father and knowing and experiencing the Son. If you go to John 17:3, that's what it says. It says eternal life is knowing and experiencing the Father and knowing and experiencing the Son. That means living the God kind of life. So he came so that you could rule and reign over sin and death, that you could live the God kind of life. So first and foremost, we see here that righteousness is a gift. We have to have this in our thinking. It is undeserved. It's unearned. And it was given for one reason, because Jesus made payment. There is nothing you did or could do to earn your righteousness. There is nothing you did or could do to get access to the kingdom. It was all because of what he did and what he paid. It is this gift that changed us, where we are no longer controlled or ruled by sin. We're no longer controlled and ruled by the death cycle. What is the death cycle? That is poverty, that is lack, that is depression, that is oppression, that is every kind of demonic attack, that is every kind of sickness, that is every kind of disease, that is everything that the enemy would bring no longer has rule and reign over you. When you were born into this, when Adam was created, he was created just below the God class. Below the God class was the angelic class. So when he submitted himself to the enemy, who was an angel, the class changed. So what is this telling you? When Jesus paid for your righteousness, you went back to the class you originally belonged to. You went back to the kingdom you originally belonged to. You went back to the ruling realm that you were called to live in. So righteousness, what we normally say is that it's in right standing with God. That's what we would say when they ask you what righteousness is. But what does that mean? That means that you went from the place where you were bowing to an enemy, where you were bowing to a devil, where you were bowing to someone who was, should have been a class below you, and instead you were lifted up, put at the right hand of the Father, seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places, and you were moved to a ruling and reigning place of authority. Not just, oh, me and God are good now. You're taking that way too lightly. You were put in the right place, the place you were created to be, the place you were called to be. You were put in the place where you can rule and reign with him for all of eternity. You went from a life of defeat to a life of victory. So I want to give you another definition of righteousness. We're going to do a couple here, and they all go hand in hand. You were given the ability to stand in the presence. I already feel the tension rising. You were given the ability to stand in the presence of our Father as if you have never sinned. Never sinned. Yeah, I feel your weight, whoever. I feel someone pushing, like you had never sinned. You stand before the Father, not thinking I'm unworthy because I've done this. You stand before the Father not thinking, oh, well, you don't know what I did last night. Not standing before the Father thinking, oh, you don't know what I did 10 years ago, what I did 20 years ago. You don't know what I did when I was a kid. No, as if you have never sinned. You have never sinned. You're saying, Danny, you don't know what you're doing here. Yes, yes, I do. What I'm telling you is if you are standing before the Father thinking that you are a sinner, thinking that you have sinned, I actually found it really great that that lyric, Jordan switched it to, feed it to me, a child, switched it to child, and you made me holy. That lyric there in the original lyric was, I was a sinner and you made me holy. You see, you were a sinner, but he made you righteous. He made you holy. He moved you to that place. So if you stand before the Father considering your sins, can I just go ahead and say, you have not received the gift of righteousness. That doesn't mean he didn't provide it to you. That means you chose to not take it. If I bought something for Dwayne and I said, Dwayne, I got this gift for you, but he refused to receive it, he would find no benefit from it. You have to receive the gift of righteousness. He said, you can come before me and stand completely blameless. And yes, I know that you probably know this. But you need to know it where we're going. You need to know it where we're going. You need to know it like you know the front and back of your hand. I don't know why people say that. I don't really know the front and back of my hand that well, but anyways. Glory to God. Sometimes they just flow out before I can catch them from leaving. Thank you, Jesus. All right, another definition of righteousness. Let's just move right along here. The ability to stand in the presence of our Father without any sense of guilt, fear, shame, and this one, I'm going to tell you, when I read it, or inferiority. You should no longer view yourself as little. You should no longer view yourself as unimportant. You should no longer view yourself as less than, because he called you to a place to stand boldly in his presence. The scripture in Hebrews just before says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why do you come boldly to that throne of grace? Because he has something he wants to say to you. And so when you're allowing inferiority to creep into your life, can I tell you that's the same thing as when you allow sin to dominate your thoughts in his presence? There should be no inferiority of, I can't do it. Why would you choose me? Well, 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 wah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. No, there should be no inferiority. He knew what he was doing when he created you. He knew who he called you to be. He knew what he called you to. He knew the people that he called you to meet with. You walk in boldly. You walk in boldly to the place he called you to be, with boldness and courage, viewing yourself in the right place, the place where you say, no, I'm a child of the King. I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I am an heir of the kingdom of heaven. You have called me. You have called me to be a part of this. And the last definition, I saw this one, and this just got all over me. The gift of righteousness is our gift of covenant membership. I want to go to a place in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21 says it like this. I'm going to talk faster. Glory to God. John, this is your fault. You said we'd be here till 9:30. He spoke it. You can have what you say. I'm just kidding, people. I'm just kidding. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors. Glory to God. For Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you. Who's that? Everyone who hasn't come into the kingdom. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. A few scriptures before it says that we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are righteous because of him. I was talking to Amanda recently, and her and Art were working on a job in downtown Austin. And they were in this building that had this extreme security system. And it required you to have a badge to go into any entrance. I'm talking about if you wanted to go on the contractor elevator, you had to have a badge to get on the contractor elevator. If you didn't have a badge, you had to call and wait 20 minutes for someone to come get you to go up on this thing. To go in the specific rooms, you had to have a badge to get into every level. Your badge didn't work for every floor. It worked for the floor that you were allowed to access. Your badge didn't work for every room. It worked for the rooms that you were allowed to access. Can I tell you, your badge has Jesus's face on it. Your badge gives you the access that he has access to. Your badge doesn't have your face on it. It has his face on it. You were given righteousness because you are in him. So when you go scan that badge, the Father says, oh, they have access through Jesus. They have access through Jesus. This is their right place because of Jesus. He's the one who gave them access. When I went to Sam's Club today, I showed them my little membership card and they said, okay, you can come in. But my face begins to be Jesus's face when I'm dwelling in the righteousness of God. It is him that gives us access. We are not righteous without him. There is no separation of righteousness. There's self-righteousness. Can I tell you, that key card doesn't work. That badge doesn't work. Your works will not earn you access to the dimensions and the kingdoms that you are called to the rooms in heaven that you're called to. Your righteous works. See the quotation. Will not get you there. It's his face, his badge in him that gets you to that place. So when that covenant was formed between God and the Father, he said, I'm giving you this gift of righteousness, and now you have access to the full covenant. Wow. Wow. As he is, so are you in this world. So how do we get, Lord, help me with my words here. Okay, so the original question was, have you noticed that your breastplate has more luster? Have you noticed an increased skill in righteousness? So I went really hard and really heavy about it being all about him. So Danny, if it's all about him, how do we gain skill in righteousness? You are as righteous in Jesus as you will ever be. Just like I am as married as I will ever be to Jordan. I will never be more married to Jordan than I am right now. When we got married, it was as married as we would ever be. But our marriage continues to grow in depth. It continues to grow in intimacy. It continues to grow in understanding. It continues to grow in knowing how we work together, how we live together, and me knowing what he wants and him knowing what I want. It continues to us to grow together to be a greater benefit to one another. I know what I can do to catch up for him, and he knows what he can do to catch up for me. We know where we can fill in each other's cracks. We know where we can move together. We know how we can grow better together. Why? Because when you create a covenant relationship, it's no longer just about you. And so when you came into that place with Jesus, if you want to be more skilled in your righteousness, you begin to be more intimate with him. You begin to understand, okay, this is your right way of doing it. This is how you like it to be done. You like it when I come about it this way. You like when I do things this way. And you begin to allow his kingdom to flow through you. Because the reason, let me back up. You received a free gift of righteousness, right? We say not earned at all. I don't want to go back to that at all. It is not earned at all. You are as righteous as you will ever be. He made the free gift, but can I tell you, the payment was made that you would reign in life. And to reign in this life, to reign with the God kind of life, you need to know how Jesus thinks. You need to know how he moves. You need to know how he acts. You need to know how he goes about doing it. Amen? I'm going to skip right over that. So, we should be those who are ever increasing. Lord, I want to... So we know that Luke 4:18, if I say that to someone, they will say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm not going to read all of that, right? He has called me to preach the gospel to the poor, to mend the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. In Isaiah 61, when it's talking about this very same thing, I'm going to turn there real quick because I just want to read one piece to you. Isaiah 61, so it says all of that very same thing at the top. Well, maybe not at the top of yours. It's at the top of my Bible, so we'll call it at the top. That it says in Luke 4:18, but at the end of that it says this, that they may be called trees, some translations say oaks, oaks of righteousness. Oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. Well, what's specific about oaks? Oaks have a very deep, strong root system. That they are planted in the Lord. Their root system is strong. It goes into the depth. It goes into great depths where it is actually more challenging to get out little oak trees than it is to get out almost every other kind of tree. John knows a thing or two about some oak roots. Oh, I just had some great memories of us pulling out some oak roots. All right, moving along. Glory to God. I didn't even think about that till right now. So that we would be made oaks of righteousness by becoming like the anointed one. So what is this? The word says that we would be rooted and grounded in love. So when we are operating in our place of righteousness, that love root is pouring up in us and it's able to pour up out of us. And that's when we can say, I know something. I know something. Think of Acts 3, and I'm going to jump through this really quick. I was going to go into it, but John really extended my time clock with his word, so... I'll see you tomorrow. Glory to God. So think of Acts 3. What happens in Acts 3? He comes to the gate called Beautiful. This was supposed to be the most beautiful gate. It was a reverent place where they were very quiet and very religious. They spoke very quietly. They didn't want to stir up the atmosphere. And there says that there was a beggar man who was sitting at this gate called Beautiful. And what did they say to him? They said, silver and gold I do not have, but such I do have, I will give to you. What was that such that they did have? Such is a very poor translation. What it should have said is, who I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. What was that? That was that righteousness, that love root pouring through them where they said, I know something. I know where I sit. I know where I belong. I know what I have the authority to do. I know who I am. I know what I've been called to do. And so in that, I grab a hold of you and I say, stand up and walk. And it says that that man was healed not only physically, but also in his soul and in his spirit. If you go out and study that out, I'm not going to go through all of that today, but Why were they able to do that? Because they knew the one who made them righteous. They knew that right standing with God didn't just mean that him and I are okay and things are good. They knew that it meant that he was standing in a place, seated in a place, moving and flowing in the power of God, able to reign in life. That word life is not like the day-to-day life. Reign in life. The victorious style of living, the Zoe life of God, the God kind of life. They were able to live their days in that way rather than bound by sin and death. So I say to you this, you are called to reign. You are called to walk in your right place. You are called to walk blameless before God, coming boldly to the presence of God as if you've never sinned. You are to walk up to him in a place of boldness, not a place of inferiority. You are called to walk in his presence, to rest in his presence, to be comfortable being in his presence. You are called to be in him. I want to close with just this one thing right here. I heard Stephanie Gretzinger had a post on Facebook. She's a worship leader. I'm not telling you to go listen to her, but I'm telling you about this one specific post. And she said, too many people are so obsessed with their call of what they're called to do in life that they forget their first calling is to Jesus. They forget that Jesus is your calling. Jesus is your calling. If you're trying to figure out what you're called to do in life, that's wonderful. And you know, if you've sat under any type of preaching I have ever done, I am all about it and I preach about it all the time. Your destiny, your call, your purpose. But your first calling is to Jesus. And I don't care if you figure out what you're supposed to do in this life or not. If you do not find yourself in intimate relationship with Jesus, you will never be satisfied. You will never be satisfied if you do not have a relationship with Jesus. You will never be satisfied if you don't take that as the first order of importance of your first calling. He is what satisfies. He is what provides. He is the one who makes the way. He is the one who's on the access badge. He is the one who paid for your salvation. He is the one who paid for your deliverance. He's the one who paid for your freedom. He's the one who paid for your healing. He's the one who paid for your prosperity. He's the one who paid for your peace. He's the one who paid so that you could be in relationship with the creator of the universe. He's the one who causes you to be restored. And so if there is nothing else that you take away from today, know Jesus is your calling. He's the one. Why did I go on and on about Jesus? You are good. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, I would have nothing. I would have nothing. The word says you are nothing without him. And somehow in the church we know that we are nothing without him, but yet we still want to do nothing with him. You are called to be one with the one who paid everything. There is no greater love. And so we're moving to this place where I don't want you to say, wow, Danny, that was a great word. I want you to say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, you're the one. That's it. That's the cry of my heart, that you would long for him. Amen. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for your son Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you that you paid such a high price. You paid such a high price for us to live this victorious life. You paid the price that we could be intimate with you, that we could walk with you, that we could grow with you, that we could move with you. But you gave us the free gift of salvation. You gave us the free gift of the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the comforter. You gave us the gift of walking and moving and flowing with you. Jesus, we are so thankful. We are so grateful. We love you. We love you. We love you. You are good. You are good. You are so good. You are so good. We love you and we bless you. Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you that the people of God grab a hold of it. And our lives are changed because of what you've spoken to us today. What you have spoken to us today, that our lives are changed. Father, I thank you that we are called to be victors. We are called, yes, Lord, we are called to reign in life in you. In your righteousness. I want to just close my second closing. I heard a preacher say that as pastor, or preachers, we get three closings. So I'm only on number two. Paul said in his closing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. In the Passion Translation, it says that the crown of righteousness is the victor's crown. Our victory is found when we receive the gift of righteousness. Amen.